The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
Good morning, everyone. That is a tough act to follow. How'd you like to get up here and follow that? Are you looking at a screen in the back? You nailed it. Thank you. That was really good. That was excellent. Father's Day, so happy Father's Day. My father isn't here, and I miss him. He's in heaven. Probably about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, went to heaven. You know, doesn't matter how old you are, you always look for your father's affirmation. Did you know that? And I miss him today. I was trying to think of the many blessings, gifts, legacy that I have from him. And I think one of the great ones is generosity. He was a generous man. He was open-handed and open-hearted about everything he had, and he taught me that not to hold on tightly to what we've been given, but to use it to be able to bless other people. And I remember him for that today. You know, it's kind of funny because at the end of his life, he got a bit of dementia, but he didn't lose his generous trait, gene. And he had a credit card, and he was taking everybody out for lunch all over the place, and he had forgot you had to pay for it. So I said to my brother, Ken, get his credit card. Get it. And I remember we got it, and I had to pay off $4,000 on it. He didn't have any money left. And when he died, I got $2,000 as an inheritance. So I'm only down two. So it's not that bad. I mean, it could be worse. It could be down all four, you know. But I miss him. I miss him today. If you're a father, it's a great day. Great day to be a father. Well, we've been talking about following Jesus together. We're thinking about the church, actually. Learned a few things. One is that the church is the people of God and the presence of God. Another thing we learned is God's will is that we commit ourselves. Deep commitment, actually, to a local gathering of believers. Don't just attend now and again. Be committed to a local fellowship. Lots of good churches in Central Alberta. Pick one. Pick one and be committed to it. That's God's heart. What I want to talk about today is the word mission. Mission. We follow Jesus together in mission. There's one verse that I want to leave with you. I'll probably reference a few others, but if you forget everything else I say and you remember this, I would be happy. It's this verse. Jesus is talking to his disciples after he's been raised from the dead. He's gathered together with them before he goes back to heaven. And he looks them all in the eyes and he says this. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. That's John 20, verse 21. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. Our God is a missional God. You say, where do you get mission from that? Well, it's twice, two times in that verse. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. The Latin word missio means sent. So you could read it, as the Father's given me a mission, so I'm giving you a mission. The church has a double identity. Double identity. We are called out, people, called out from the world to be part of the body of Jesus. And then we are sent out back into the world as missionaries. So double identity, called and sent. Nobody can bump into Jesus. Nobody can encounter Jesus without being sent. Without being sent. I mean, you think about it. Everybody Jesus calls in to bless, he blesses, and then he sends them out to be a blessing. He blesses you so that you can be a blessing. He gives to you so you can give to others. That's the way it works with Jesus. He sent us out as a church on a mission. And it's that one of the greatest things about being part of the body of Christ is we have a mission, a reason for being, a purpose in life that can radically change Central Alberta and the world. I mean, I don't know what happens to us, but we all start out wanting to make a difference with our lives. Sometimes we're radical when we're young about what we're going to do and what we're going to be. I mean, even children know that. When was the last time you asked a kid what he wanted to be? Did he say, I just want to work in an office? They don't say that. No, I just want to sit at a computer. No, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a firefighter. I want to be, you know, they aim big. I remember when I was in Kenya one time and we were going through an orphanage and you know what it's like in those places if you've been there. Kids just latch onto you all over the place. And a little boy, 8 years old, Eddie, grabbed my arm. followed me around everywhere I went. And I looked down at Eddie and I said, Eddie, what are you going to do when you grow up? And he said, I want to fly a plane. That's great. I'm going to be a pilot, Eddie said. The plane went over and I said, maybe you're going to fly for Kenyan Airways because that's where we were. He said, no way. I'm flying for Emirates, he said. I mean, you go bigger, you go home, right? I mean, flying for Emirates. And I said, that's awesome, Eddie. I said, I can't wait to be on a plane that you're flying. He looked at me and he said, you'll be dead by then, he said. You know, really. We pulled all our funding and everything. It was, no, we didn't. But I mean, everybody wants to be something, do something. There's nothing greater that you could do than be part of the mission that Jesus is on. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. He transfers his mission to us. Not to one or two believers. To every believer. Everybody that encounters Jesus is now on mission. Called out of the world, sent back into the world. Double identity. You couldn't read this book, the Bible, and not get that it's the very heart nature of God to be a sending God. Sending God. That's what he's about. Think about it. You get to Genesis chapter 12, and he encounters this man, Abraham, and he says to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to leave your country and your relatives and go to the land that I'll show you. He sent Abraham out. Now, in Genesis chapter 12, where he's telling Abraham to leave, he says, Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I'll show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and before the sentence ends, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless you so that you can be a blessing. I'll send you out. He sends Abraham out. You can't read very far, and you encounter a man named Joseph, and God sends Joseph down into Egypt. Why? To preserve a nation and nations of people because there's going to be a great famine. After the Joseph story, God sends Moses back into Egypt to deliver the people from Egypt. After Moses, there's this continuous sending of prophets to his people to warn and encourage his people. On and on it goes till you come to Jesus, and God sends Jesus as the Father sent me, Jesus says. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Then Jesus sends us. It's the very heart, nature of God to be a sending God. And that's what he does for us. He sends us as the Father sent me. How did the Father send Jesus? Well, our mission, is modeled on his mission. He was sent to bring salvation. We're sent out into our world to offer salvation to the people around us on behalf of God. He was sent to make broken people whole. We're sent to feed hungry people, to set captives free, to deliver people that are oppressed and encourage them and give them hope. Jesus was sent to make sinful people holy. We're sent to teach people how to live the right way so their lives don't become one great train wreck. As the Father sent me, I'll set you. Listen, there's nothing greater that you could give your life to. This is amazing. Where do we get off track? We start out with big dreams and big goals to change the world. What happens? You know what happens? We somewhere along the way, we make our own happiness our chief end. Our own happiness. And then it becomes all about us. You know what the Bible says about that? It says you live for yourself, you're going to end up losing your life. Try and save your life, you try and make your own happiness your chief end, you're going to end up losing your life. But Jesus says, but if you make me and my mission the chief end of your life, even if you lose it, you'll save it. Try and figure that out. What he means is you'll live forever. Best way to live. So I want to think about this with you a little bit today. The problem, of course, with this idea of mission, if you think more than 2 minutes about it, is what's popular today is pluralism, not mission. Pluralism, not mission. The pluralist assumption is that we ought to just leave people alone. Just leave them as they are. We're okay, you're okay, let's just be as we are. It's the most powerful force in our world today, pluralism. And so there's this tendency to draw back. We lose courage, we lose heart, and when we hear Jesus saying, I'm sending you out, and by the way, tell them I'm the only way. You say, but Jesus, do you understand? We're in a pluralistic world. So I want to help you think that through a little bit today. And I thought I'd spend a little bit of time just talking about the why of mission, not just the what, but the why, to help us get on track. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to run it through the grid of Crossroads Church. That's who we are. That's where we attend. That's where we belong. So I want to tell you how we at Crossroads Church understand these words of Jesus: as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. And I hope over the next couple of weeks you'll have a good idea of who we are, what we're about, and how we go out into our world. The biggest statement that defines who we are as a church, it's foundational, it's our DNA, it's everything for us. It's this statement: that we want to give everyone in Central Alberta an opportunity to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and by following him, compassionately impact our world. That's everything to us. That's our best application of these words of Jesus: as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Everything we do here is based on that statement: to give everybody in Central Alberta an opportunity to know Jesus Christ, and by following him, compassionately impact our world. That's why we do what we do in terms of outreach and mission. It's why we do what we do in terms of our inreach and our programs. We hire through that lens and that grid. Our budget, which we'll talk about, as Jason mentioned, at our family summer meeting, is all based on that statement. Our building and phase four is based on that statement. Everything we do runs through. There's no more important statement to us than that statement as a church. You need to understand that. So let me give you four reasons why we're so serious about that. Why we're so serious about doing everything we can to go with the mission that Jesus has entrusted to us. Number one reason would be this: we desire here at Crossroads Church, we desire to be obedient to the Great Commission, to the Great Commission. Do you know what the Great Commission is? It's in Matthew 28, where Jesus, just before he goes back to heaven, looks at his disciples and says, now you go into all the world. Literally, that means as you are going. So as you're going into Central Alberta, as you're getting on a plane to Vancouver, as you're going into all the world, he talks to them and he says, now I want you to teach people about me. And when they come to me, I want you to baptize them. That's what you're about, he says. And what John says in John 20, when he says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you, that's his version of the Great Commission. Our desire at Crossroads Church is to be obedient to what Jesus said. It would be easy to put our feet up and get comfortable. Be easy to take no risk. It would be easy to tap out in a lot of areas. But until everybody in Central Alberta knows about Jesus Christ and has an opportunity to have a personal relationship with him, we won't tap out. We want to be obedient to what Jesus said. We've received a summons from the most important person alive to join him in the most important venture on the planet. We've received a summons from the most important person alive to join him in the most important venture on the planet, and we choose to be obedient to that. There was a missionary who had a friend say to him one day, you know, if God had entrusted the work of mission and evangelism of the world to angels, heaven would have been emptied in 5 minutes. I think that's an exaggeration. I think that heaven would have been emptied in 5 seconds. So anxious would the angels be to fulfill the Great Commission. So that's the first thing that needs to be said. What's been done for the whole world must be made known to the whole world. That's why we do what we do. Second reason is because we're excited about the good news. We're actually excited at Crossroads about the good news. What's the good news? Best summary, we say it often here, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should never perish but have eternal life. We're excited about that. You know what that implies there? That without Jesus Christ and a trust in him, you will perish. Perish. Why? Because of sin. Sin is where you set yourself up as though you're God, and you determine for yourself what's right and wrong. You live as though you're God. And the wages of that kind of living is death, eternal death. It's interesting because I thought about this last night. We put ourselves in God's place. So what did he do? He put himself in our place. And he died our death on the cross. He paid our debt. The death that we should have died for our sin, he died in our place. And God says, if you believe that and trust him, I'll give you everlasting life. You'll never perish. And we found that to be true. We could take time and everybody could tell their story here, but we found that wherever Jesus found us, at some point we called out to him from our heart, and when we did, he saved us. Didn't make everything good and right, but on the inside, he gave us peace, sometimes joy. He gave us hope and a future and a purpose, and we're excited about that, and we want to share that. We're excited that now we have something worth living for and worth dying for if we need to. We finally found something worth living for and worth dying for. His name is Jesus Christ. And so how do we push the good news outside the four walls of this building? I'm not particularly an evangelist, but what we do is we ask everybody that comes here to be praying for at least three people by name that don't know Jesus Christ. Might be in your family. Might be on your street, at work, or at school. Just pray for them. Do you know how powerful prayer is? If you name somebody to the person who sits on the throne at the center of the universe on a regular basis, you don't think God will be all over that? He will. And then we said, if you come to Crossroads, we really want to encourage you, invite you into this idea of having a 1 minute longer conversation with people. Just push a conversation a minute longer, see what happens. See what doors God might open. I was walking down the street 2 weeks ago, down my street, and there was a lady way down there, and I could see she was working in her yard, and there was another lady coming on the sidewalk the other way, and they both had red hair. And this lady called out, "Hey, redhead," and they're talking, and just before I got there, this lady says, "It's great to be red." I got up to her and took off my hat. It said, "It'd be great to be any color." That's what she did, too. And I introduced myself, and she said, "You know what?" She said, "Just got out of the hospital. I shouldn't be doing all this work." She told me about what happened in the hospital, what she was in for. And she said, "You know what?" She said, "I was married to a guy. It fell apart, but he just died, and it's really tough. When I passed that house today on the way to Tim Hortons on the way here, I prayed for her, because now I know how to pray for her. When I go home today, I'll pray for her again, because now I know how to pray for her." She shared her heart. You could do that. You could push a conversation. See what God does. You know where that all started? It like about 16, 17 years ago, it all started. I was just going through a drive-thru at Tim Hortons. There was a lineup, but for whatever reason, the girl, when she handed me the coffee, I saw her name was Amy, and so I just decided to say, "How's it going, Amy, today?" And she looked at me and said, "You come here a lot." That's what she said. And I said, "I do." And she said, "You come with your son, and I like him." So I thought, a minute longer, this is cool. I said, "You know what, Amy?" She didn't know who I was. "I go to Crossroads Church, and so does he. If you show up on Sunday, I'll introduce you," I said. Forgot to tell him, but anyway, she showed up on Sunday, blew her away when I walked up here, but she came up right here after, and was like, "Hello," and we did, and the feeling wasn't mutual, but before she left, I said, "Amy, I'd love to invite you to our house Friday night." I said, "On Friday nights, we have young adults in. And most of them don't even go to church. But they just like you, they just hang out. Just a better thing to do than clubbing or bars. If you'd like to come on Friday night, we're going to have a barbecue. We just talk God. Anything goes. Any question goes." She said, "I'll be there." She came for 2 years. We went through the whole Alpha course. We went through a Rob Bell deal. We went piles of stuff. She heard the whole story from beginning to end. You know where it started? "Hey, Amy, how's it going today?" You could do that. You can do that. You could push a conversation a minute longer and see what Jesus does. This is what we're about. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. What difference would it make if tomorrow morning when you got up, you looked in the mirror and you said, I am sent. I'm sent. Wherever I go today, I am sent. That's your double identity. I'm called to into Jesus' family, but I'm sent out into the world that I'm going out in today. Makes a huge difference when you view yourself the way Jesus said we ought to view yourself. Here's another reason, a third reason. Is this three? I can't count. Okay. Two kinds. Never mind. Can't even get that right. Because we have compassion for the world, we do what we do. We do what we do because we want to be obedient to Jesus. We want to do what we're told. We do what we do because we're excited about the good news. So it's not just a matter of having to do it. We want to do it. Then the third reason is because we have compassion for the world. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. In other words, our mission modeled on His. His was to bring salvation. But it was also to make broken people whole, to heal sick people, to feed hungry people, to set captives free, to do everything you can to help the oppressed and the distressed. That was His mission, so that has to be our mission too. And how many times don't you read in the New Testament, Jesus saw these people, and it says He was moved with compassion because they were like sheep, harassed and helpless without a shepherd. Did you hear Pastor Sean a few weeks ago up here? He said this. He said that, and he was right. He said when it says Jesus was moved with compassion, it came from the core of His being. It moved Him in the depths of His being when He saw these people harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. If that was His mission, surely it's got to be ours. We need to compassionately impact our world. Do you see people the way Jesus saw them? When you hear the news about the refugees coming across from North Africa to Spain and all the trouble they're getting in, doesn't that move you to the depths of your being? When you hear that half of them don't make it, does that do anything to you? Do you know that most of our world lives that way? When you walk the streets of Red Deer and you see people and you know this isn't their home and they wouldn't be here if they had a choice, but they're here because they were displaced, does that not move you to the core of your being? Because our Father said that our hearts ought to go out to the stranger and the alien, the refugee among us. We've got to stop thinking politically and start thinking biblically. That's what we've got to start doing. We got to stop saying, well, we can only take so many, you know, and there's all these problems. We got to start thinking like Jesus, who was moved with compassion and made room for anybody and everybody in His heart and in His life. Do you know what it's like for those people in our streets to get here? I've been on Lesbos. I've helped people out of rafts. I've gone down in the night, middle of the night in Lesbos, to where the lighthouse is with some friends. The lighthouse in Lesbos is what they aim for at night. When they come across, they just aim for the lighthouse. When you get down to the lighthouse, if you're not careful, you will literally drown in life rafts that have been abandoned there. Never seen so many in my whole life. If you know how to get down to the lighthouse, you have to leave the main highway. You get on a dirt road. It's bad, and it's all the way down in the dark. And halfway down, we were stopped by a group of men just standing there. They found out who we were. We didn't speak Greek, and they were apparently islanders, and they let us through. I said to the guy driving, what was that all about? He said, oh, they're waiting for the refugees to come in. He says, they'll land, they'll meet those guys on the road, and those guys will rob them of everything they have. They'll hit the main highway, they'll have to find their way to a refugee camp with nothing left. And these are the people that you see on our streets now. These are the people that we're to welcome with open arms as Jesus did and still does. We compassionately impact our world because the mission that He had has now been transferred to us. That's the mission. And so a number of years ago, we were concerned about who are the last, the lost, the least, the little, and the nearly dead in Red Deer. Who are they? And so we commissioned Julie Cavanaugh, who now works in our children's ministry, to do a study. And she did a study, an in-depth, thorough study of the city of Red Deer. She went to every social service agency and the RCMP and said, who are the most vulnerable in our city? And if we could make any dent anywhere, that's where we'd like to start. You know what? Everybody came up, same thing. It's single parent homes and vulnerable youth. That's what it is. And so we decided as a church to engage deeply at that level in our community. If you came out to our family meetings, you would know this, but if you don't, I'll tell you. But we've made a long-term commitment for a number of years past, a number of years into the future, to the Pregnancy Care Center to provide a big chunk of their budget for their maternity home. And we provide resources and help, volunteers. We began to engage with women's outreach downtown, with Boys and Girls Clubs, the Red Deer. Mustard Seed is out there today in the foyer. A year and a half ago, we had a fair in our gym with some of the schools in our city where the most vulnerable kids are from the most difficult family situations. And they were in the gym, and they were asking you and me for help. Please help. They were putting their hands up. And we went in there, and I hoped that you said I would help. These are the last, the lost, the least, the little, and the nearly dead. But you know, it's not just the church. It's all of us who belong to Crossroads. We should know who the single parents are on our street so we can pray for them. Who are the people at our workplace who have difficult situations with their kids that we can come alongside of? Where can we step up to the plate and say to Boys and Girls Clubs, hey, I'm available. I'm available. See, for a lot of us, it's easy just to read this stuff, but not engage. And when 2008, when we realized the church had grown and we had resources, we thought we have a responsibility wider than Red Deer in Central Alberta. So though the economy was tanking, and though we had said already we were going to go and add on to the children's wing because we had 500 or 600 children and no place to put them, we said we will add another 500,000 to our budget so that we can engage globally. And we put a group of people together that were geopolitically savvy. And we said, find us the last, the lost, the least, the little, and nearly dead globally that we can engage long-term with. Dig in relationship. And they came up with three countries. Haiti, Uganda, and Sudan. Sudan. I've been to every one of these sites. In the middle of Sudan, northern Sudan, the government of Sudan asked us to partner with them and with Better World and Lacombe and care for 40,000 displaced peoples who had no infrastructure at all, just living on a desert, about 7 to 15 kilometers out of a little city called Kosti. They had nothing. After we assessed the situation, we realized the first thing they need is water because all of these little kids are dying of waterborne diseases in this two communities of 40,000 people. And so we went in with some people from Red Deer that knew what they were doing. And we had water piped in from Kosti and a tower built. It's got Crossroads logo on it, actually, in the middle of Sudan. And then two pumping stations where people can get water. I was with Curtis Quaker and Dan Wilson, and we walked those dirty, dusty streets, that displaced people's village. And in every hut was a little kid dying of waterborne diseases. It would rip your heart out. But you gave, and you were generous, and we're able to do that. Our next step was education. We're able to build some classrooms and things for them. But at that time, the president was declared a war criminal, and we, along with every other NGO, was kicked out. But you know, today they still have water. It still works. But we had to find another country. So at that point, we went into Rwanda. And today we're with Haiti, Rwanda, and Uganda. Long-term commitments to help the last, the lost, the least, the little, and the nearly dead, because we are called to be global Christians, global Christians. That's what we want to be. We've added another banner because we feel God's opened a door in the world of persecuted believers. How do we engage there? Do you know, we ought to be concerned about that. North Korea has been in the news all the last few weeks. The president of Mr. Trump and the leader of North Korea, you know they met in Singapore, and you know all that stuff. But you know, do you know the backstory of all that? Do you know what actually is going on? Do you know how many Christians are in North Korea? We should know. Do you know how many are? There's only about 100,000 Christians in that whole country. Do you know out of those 100,000 Christians, do you know how many are in prison camps because of their faith? You should know that. 30,000 of them, while we sit here today, 30,000 of those 100,000 Christians are in prison camps simply because they say Jesus is Lord. You know what they want from us? They want us to know. They want us to care. They want us to pray. I hope you do. I hope you adopt a country and pray in your home. You know, I get updates every day from Voice of the Martyrs. You could go to an organization like Voice of the Martyrs, get an app, or I get it on my email. It comes in every day. You know what I do with that? I read it. I read about this guy that's in trouble. I read about this community of Christians. And at night, I spend some time with the Lord talking to him about that. You could do that. That's who we are. We're actually sent as global Christians. And when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. So that's why we do what we do. Because we have compassion for a lost and for a broken world. I said four, didn't I? I didn't write four down. So I'll think of something here that's really good. Here's a fourth reason why we do what we do. For the honor and the glory of the name Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I read in Philippians chapter 2 that God's will, which actually will be done one day, is that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. His will is that every, and actually it will happen. There will be a day in Red Deer and Central Alberta where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Some willingly and some not willingly, but every knee will. That's God's end game. That's where he's going. After Friday and the decision of the Supreme Court of Canada, it looks like a long way away, doesn't it? But I'll tell you what, that day is still coming, where every knee will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we do that in anticipation of that day. We don't take lightly the words of Jesus, where he says, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. So how do I want to land this? I want to land this by saying we have a mission from God, and we're all needed. We're all needed. I don't want you just to attend this church. I want you to belong. I don't want you just to come and go like a passenger. I want you to engage and be part of it. I want you to understand that we together are sent on mission. Can't do it on our own, but we can do it together. God has entrusted each of us with many, many gifts and abilities. They were singing earlier from Romans chapter 12, so let me just read you what it says there. It says in Romans 12, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a person's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let them serve. If it's teaching, he should teach. If it's encouraging, you should encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, give generously. If it's leadership, govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully. In other words, the Holy Spirit has liberally distributed gifts, and they are all needed for God's mission, all of them. Not some of them, all of them. We're all needed. The gifts that you have from God, they do two things. They build up the church. They encourage us so that we can be more effective in our mission. But they're also used by God to point to Jesus Christ. You don't use your gifts, and we have a great lack, a great lack. You say, well, I don't know what my gifts are. Just say yes to something. Say yes to something. You'll find out. We'll help you. We'll say, no, you aren't going to sing a solo next week. but we have another place for you, you know. I think you all should have got a sheet like this when you came in. Can I ask you to take that out for a minute? Just take it out for a second if you don't mind. What it says at the top is we've received a mission from God. And we're all needed in that. And so in this fellowship called Crossroads, because God has called us on mission, we have a huge youth and children's ministry because we believe that that's the best time to get a hold of their hearts and make a difference in Red Deer and Central Alberta. Do you know that sometimes, oftentimes actually, we have to close down rooms up there on a Sunday morning? Not because we don't have kids, but because we don't have workers. That's a tragedy. We send kids away from children's ministry because we don't have workers. That happens more often than you know. All sorts of things here, right down to local initiatives where that's kind of reaching out into Red Deer. What I'd like you to do is to check something off and leave it in a basket at the back or at the connecting point And we'll have some people get a hold of you, and they'll talk to you about some of the opportunities and see if you can fit there. If you want to take it away and pray about it, you can. I really hope you do it today. Actually now, while we're talking and while we're going to be worshiping, I hope the Holy Spirit nudges you and says, you could do that. I'm not talking to people that are already serving. I'm talking to people that aren't using their gifts yet. You're needed. We need you. I want to say this kindly and lovingly, but we'll give you a year. We'll give you a year to come here, to get to know us, what we're about. But after a year, we expect that you would join us on this mission and that you would serve somewhere, somehow, like we do. Because if you don't, it just is so much harder and takes so much longer to do what God has asked us to do. So can I ask you to do that today? And I'm going to invite the worship team out. I'm just going to close in a word of prayer. And you just say, Lord, where would you nudge me? And wherever he nudges you, don't do it because I'm asking you. Do it because we have a mission. As the Father sent me, I'm sending. Do it for Jesus' sake. If you do it for Jesus' sake, it'll bear great, great fruit. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, and thank you that you saw us important and worthy of the mission that you entrusted to your Son. I pray that we would take this seriously, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.